From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The national rate of new HIV infection fell in 2015, but it soared in South Florida. Miami has the highest number of new cases per capita in the country, and the rate of new cases in Fort Myers and Cape Coral ranks among the highest in the country. Most of it is spread through sex by people who don't even know they have the virus. Coming up, doctors break down the numbers and tell us what's being done in South Florida to curb the spread. Plus, it's no secret Florida's roads see a lot of deadly accidents, but 2016 is proving to be deadlier than ever on the streets of several southwest Florida counties. And Florida leads the nation with some of the deadliest roads for motorcyclists. Ahead, we talk with a safety officer of a Fort Myers motorcycle club, and we hear from the Florida Highway Patrol about what makes Florida's roads especially dangerous. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Getting diagnosed with HIV and AIDS was once a death sentence, but as medicine has advanced to manage the disease and people can continue to live with it, still, the number of new cases has soared in Florida. Even in the face of falling infection rates nationwide, South Florida leads with the number of new HIV cases. Doctors say most new cases are spread by people who don't even know they have the virus. Joining us to talk about HIV/AIDS in South Florida is Dr. Doug Brust with Lee Health. He works in HIV/AIDS care and emphasizes using treatment and testing to prevent new transmissions. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us today is Dr. Hansel Tooks, a Miami doctor spearheading Florida's only needle exchange program in his efforts to combat the spread of HIV/AIDS through IV drug use. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are talking about the growing numbers of new HIV infections in South Florida. What's your experience with HIV/AIDS? Call in and join the conversation today at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, you can find us at WGCU Public Media. Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Dr. Doug Brust with Lee Health, you work in Southwest Florida with HIV. This preliminary report from the CDC says we saw 90 new HIV cases in 2015, putting Fort Myers ahead of the national average. As someone who works with these patients daily, can you put this number into context for us? What does this mean?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I just wanted to add that I'm also the infectious disease specialist over at McGregor Clinic, which is the large community-based HIV clinic here in Fort Myers. It's been here for a number of years. The issue is, in the Fort Myers, Cape Coral area, and also in Florida, is the number of people that do not know that they have HIV. Since the past probably 20 years, the number of new, that's incident, HIV infections in the United States has stayed approximately the same, about 50,000, 40 to 50,000, despite all the advances we have in treatment of HIV. And the reason for that is that a disproportionate number of new infections are caused by people, about 1.2 million people, that of those, 13% of them do not know that they have HIV. And they cause about 30% of the new infections. So learning that you have HIV, getting tested for everyone, universal testing, that means everyone between the ages of recommended by the CDC, 13 and 64, should have at least one HIV test. Once you know, people's behaviors change. And that would be the number one way we could stop the spread of HIV.
Okay, Dr. Tooks, we have you on the program today to talk about the needle exchange program that you've spearheaded in Miami. But first, I wanted to ask you about the CDC report and the staggering numbers of new HIV cases in Miami. HIV cases are being documented in the Miami area at more than three times the national average, making it the leading city for new infections in the entire country. Do you have any idea about what's causing this spread?
So if you look at the numbers, the Miami metropolitan area is more than three times the national average. If you actually look at Miami, we're even higher. We had 1,400 new infections last year, which is about 50 per 100,000 people, which is three times what other major cities are. So we are in a unique situation here in Miami where we continue to have these very high rates of new HIV infection, and we also have a lot of drug use. So one way to combat that was to implement the syringe exchange program, which just opened on World AIDS Day. And just like Dr. Brust was discussing, a lot of prevention is treatment. And one thing that we're able to offer at the Needle Exchange Program, in addition to clean needles and clean supplies, is everybody who enters our program gets screened for HIV and gets screened for hepatitis C. And as soon as we start treatment, these people are less likely to transmit HIV throughout the community. So this program is for injection drug users, but it's also for Miami as a whole.
Dr. Tookes, Florida's Surgeon General Celeste Philip has issued a written statement responding to the CDC's report. She's saying that they knew of this problem in Miami and took tremendous strides, to quote, to overcome this. This is a report that was based on 2015 data, and so since they saw that data, she implemented, she says, these tremendous strides. Have you seen any of those?
Well, I can say that Dr. Philip, just to disclose, we both sit on the board of the Florida Medical Association together, and Dr. Philip is new in the job. She is definitely a champion of preventative medicine. I think that we will see tremendous strides under her leadership in the future, and we did see the beginning of that with the support of the Needle Exchange Program by the Department of Health in Florida. Previously, the Department of Health had opposed this program and actually was one of the main reasons we weren't able to get this established. So I can say that I'm very hopeful that things will be done, but I can also say that the reason that we have this situation here in Miami is that we're not using bread-and-butter preventative health strategies, such as needle exchange, such as PrEP, which is the pill that you can take to prevent HIV. These things are widely not available. So I'm not so sure that I've seen those strides throughout my time practicing medicine here.
Not yet, but you say
have,
that there's...
I have to really endorse that opinion.
Oh, you're seeing the same thing here in Fort Myers, Dr. Brust?
Well, no. Well, right, but I'm just talking about in Florida in general also. I mean, I'm from New York City. That's where I practiced before. But contrast Miami to Cape Coral, Fort Myers area. The CDC divides the areas into metropolitan statistical areas. And so Cape Coral and Fort Myers, which is the sleepy retirement area, you know, we ranked number 36 on this study. This is out of the United States. If we ranked 400th, that would be horrible for such a small area. You know, in 2013, we were 17th, in 2014, 40th. So it'll bounce around, but this is for new incident HIV infections. And again, the ways that HIV is transmitted, the big two in the community are intravenous drug use and sexual spread. PrEP and for the sexual spread, which I'm going to speak to, PrEP is the medication that you can take to prevent HIV infection, which is the sexy thing to do nowadays, and people should do it, but getting tested, is knowing your HIV status, is the number one thing that drives new infections for people having sex with people that do not know that they are infected.
Well, it seems like we just need a refresher course from 1986. I feel like everyone should know by now how to avoid getting HIV or AIDS. You know, working on your behavior, using condoms, these things, is that just, do people not know this anymore? Did they forget?
I would say that behavioral strategies have failed because they brought us to the point where we still have this, you know, with abstinence or use of condoms, we still, and lack of needle exchange, we still have these essentially constant number of new infections in the United States. You know, it varies between 30 and 50-some thousand, but it's been for 20 years. And a real aggressive public health, this is a public health issue. And so a real aggressive public health policy and funding to the public health infrastructure in the state of Florida is what is needed.
Well, I'm wondering that in Lee County and in Fort Myers, Cape Coral, who are these people that are coming down, that are catching this? Are they in their 40s, in their 50s? Are they young people who didn't live through the 80s and don't know about it?
So what I can say is I'm not an epidemiologist for the area around here, but I can give you some general statistics that, yeah, there are a lot of young gay guys that are becoming infected with HIV. And we have an intravenous drug problem driven by the opiate and now heroin epidemic. Nowhere near what Miami is. However, our biggest, and also as far as its demographics, it reflects our community here. You know, in the state of Florida, more than half of the prevalent HIV cases, people are above 50. We see in our clinic the average age of our patient population is 66% of them are older than 50. So that's a prevalent infection. New infections, you know, are a catch-all in this area. It's a smaller number of cases. It's 90 to 100 people. And I think Hansel can, Dr. Chu can speak towards what he's seeing over in Miami with a larger population.
It is a much larger population. And also, Dr. Tooks, the other side of the 80s was the heroin look, the needle problem, and people spreading HIV by sharing those needles. And now fast forward to today, and we have an opioid epidemic, and we're hearing about heroin all over again, making these needle exchange programs like yours vital. Tell me about how that is having an impact in the spread over there.
So the needle exchange program should have opened 25 years ago here in Miami. It's interesting to be a public health physician and an internist in Miami because to be innovative, all we have to do is implement what the rest of the country has been doing for decades. So we're really excited to have this needle exchange program open. But at the same time, Miami is not the only place in Florida that is reeling from the heroin epidemic, and we're surely not the hardest hit by the heroin epidemic. So there's so much pressure on us to evaluate this, implement this program well, and evaluate it and get back to the legislature so that we can spread this through Florida as quickly as possible. Because I can tell you, the people that we're seeing in the needle exchange program are young, and they are not as familiar with the 80s, just like you were saying, and there's just such a scarcity of clean needles and any sort of contact with the healthcare system until it's too late. It's really been an amazing outreach that we've started within the community here in the last few weeks. And I look forward to the day that all Floridians have access to this type of program, or else we're going to see what they saw in Indiana. You know, in Miami, we are already at Scott County, Indiana levels, but I fear for the rest of our state, and that's why there's so much pressure on us to make sure that this program rolls out well so that the rest of the state can benefit from this bread-and-butter public health intervention.
Well, so far, you're saying that it's going well.
It's going really well.
It's only been a few weeks. It's only been a few weeks, though, yeah.
We have over 100 people. They're coming in often to exchange their needles. So we're able to provide them with clean needles. We give them tourniquets, alcohol. We give them antibiotics if they need wound care. When they do their enrollment, we do a brief questionnaire. We provide rapid HIV and hepatitis C testing and counseling right there, as well as linkages to care. And a huge part of prevention of HIV is testing these people, identifying them, linking them to care, and you know, getting them on treatment. And these are all things that in Florida have traditionally not been easy to do. The amount of barriers that exist for people to have access to antiretroviral therapy, which is the treatment for HIV, and HIV services, it's a tough environment. And we're just, I think that this is sort of a new wave for Miami. I see the needle exchange as like a turn in the tide. We're really going to start to address these things head on.
Well, at least having those people in front of you, you're able to administer these tests. And like Dr. Brust was saying, just knowing and having people know that they have it has a huge impact.
And I want to just add to Dr. Chu's comments that sort of what the recommendations have been for years and years and years, we're just being able to apply now. For testing and outreach and counseling and prevention, in the community, McGregor Clinic has an incredibly strong group of people and program that reach out within the community. And with a change in legislation, that's issue that's called opt-out testing that actually just went through, I think, in July of 2015, it changes how people receive HIV tests, so they don't have to consent specifically for that test. It becomes just, it normalizes HIV. This has made it easier to implement testing at different areas. In fact, you know, Lee Health, formerly known as Lee Memorial Health System, is moving really forward thinking with this, and we're moving towards a program that's been recommended for years by the CDC, of course a recommendation that did not come with any funding options, but to test everyone that comes in the emergency room, regardless of what they're coming from, if they've never had an HIV test. And over 2017, this will be implemented in Lee Health, all Lee Health hospitals here in Lee County. I mean, this is something that's been called for years and actually occurs in New York City, but we really haven't had the funding or the ability to do it because we are tied by some of these constraints, these administrative constraints about, being extremely burdensome in an ER to do testing and counseling and signing consents. That's been eased up. So in the state of Florida, we don't have these programs running just yet in most places, but WeHealth is really going to be moving forward in the emergency room and as McGregor Clinic reaches out in the community.
So as it stands or up until now, the emergency rooms were not able to test someone for HIV unless they got consent from that person?
Right. Well, you have to the way it works is a separate written consent up until 2015. And what I'm talking about is universal testing. That means that people always try to risk stratify. Well, are they having unprotected sex or do they use needles? The recommendation is that everyone should get an HIV test between the ages of 13 and 64 if they've not been tested before, if your incidence is high enough. So we are in an area where the incidence is high enough, you should get an HIV test, period, end of story. Doesn't matter if you have sex with this, that, or the next thing. So you should get an HIV test. And a way to do that is in the emergency room. Now, what happens is when you get health care, when you come into the health care system, you sign a general consent. Now, HIV can be part of that general consent. And instead of having all these other legal obligations about making HIV special and testing special, now, essentially, what you can do is verbally say, we're going to do an HIV test unless you do not want us to do one. And if you don't, then you can opt out. And that really saves time in the setting of a very busy emergency room.
Yeah, it does save time. It also saves the possibility of someone rejecting the test.
Right. And also, the technology has changed to be able to do rapid tests and we've just moved along, and so we just have to now implement these strategies. As, needle exchange, we should have learned from the past. Tuberculosis was, I'm an infectious disease doctor, I'm a treater, I'm not in public health, but, I come from a area with strong public health background. Tuberculosis, everyone thought we beat tuberculosis, and then HIV came along, and everyone, funding for TB just went out the window, and we had a TB explosion in the United States. So we have to learn from the past.
We are talking about the growing numbers of HIV infections in South Florida. What is your experience with HIV/AIDS? Call in and join the conversation today at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook, we're WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Dr. Brust, you just mentioned that, attention goes away from something and people just stop thinking about it and they don't consider it to be a risk. We've also had the medications that make it possible for people to continue to live with and sort of control HIV, and that may have shifted the focus away from the prevention like you're talking about. I mean, is that possibly what we can maybe blame?
Right. I mean, I think that can be attributed. That's a double-edged sword because treatment, as Dr. Tooth brought up earlier, treatment is prevention. So if people get on treatment and they reduce their viral loads to below the detection of the assays that we use to get their viral loads of their HIV and their bloodstream down, they do not transmit the virus. So that's a public health. Not only is it a personal gain for that person, for their own health, but it's also a public health initiative to get treated, to stop prevention. So the younger generation doesn't remember what was going on. So they think, it's now HIV treatment is one pill once a day. One pill once a day compared to what it was like before. And they may not have, in some ways it's good that there's not stigma side attributed to it, but in other ways they may not think that soundly about the decisions they're making as far as getting infected.
What is having HIV like today as opposed to, say, 10 years ago? You're saying they have to just simply take one pill a day?
It's unbelievably different. It's, 10, 15 years ago, the treatment now for a patient coming in with new HIV infection, that's been picked up. And that's the one issue that we, all clinicians are dealing with, is that if you don't get HIV tests, many people will present. HIV is a progressive disease. There's an asymptomatic period where, despite not having clinical manifestations or being sick, your immune system is deteriorating until you get to the threshold where you begin to have multiple medical problems. You are advanced HIV in that case. And you don't want to be treated at that stage. You want to be treated as early as possible. Everyone that has HIV should be treated. And given that, we have regimens that are complete regimens in one tablet that you take once a day. And the toxicity and side effect profile, the tolerability, has increased dramatically. These pills are easy to take once a day, complete regimen.
Are they something that...
I can say...
Yes, sorry.
So as a physician who treats HIV in the new era, I never treated patients in the old era where they had to wake up in the middle of the night on these very difficult antiretroviral schedules. Most of my patients are on one pill a day, and it's definitely a new day for people with HIV. But unfortunately, here in Miami, we still get a lot of people who have their initial HIV diagnosis when they have what's called an AIDS-defining illness, and that's toxoplasmosis, which is a brain infection, or any of these infections that everybody remembers from the 80s, the pneumocystis pneumonia. And we still see that every day in Jackson Memorial Hospital, where I work, to the point where we have an HIV team still. So we have a long way to go in Florida to really make sure that people are identified as living with HIV and getting them into treatment and re-engaging them in treatment if they're lost. I really think that's where we fall behind.
Are there...
I really want to underscore that, because these people in many cases have come in touch with the healthcare system before but never were HIV tested. Or they did not think they were at risk, so they never got a test. And their health deteriorates. And then they present to the hospital at, you know, Jackson with full-blown, you know, toxoplasmosis or pneumocystis, something that when I talk to my colleagues at the NIH and up at Columbia University in New York, you know, they think, why are we seeing these things nowadays? But we do.
Well, there are groups of people that you're saying in their 40s or 50s who may be straight, who could have come in contact with it because they just never thought that they were part of a risk group. But it's spreading in all of these different groups. So the risk factor groups are kind of a non-player at this point. The risk factors don't seem to add up because the people are getting this in all different kinds of groups.
Right. So the way the risk factors add up, as far as if you have a risk factor, it's sort of, you know, it doesn't identify with your sexual orientation as much as what you do. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you want to say, as far as demographics, there are a lot of, I think our biggest group at McGregor Clinic is straight people, or you know, women that, you know, don't feel that they're at risk because they're with one person, and they don't realize that person is HIV infected. So it really is everybody should be tested, regardless of the risk factor. Then once you get one test, then your risk, you should be risk stratified to say, are you injecting? Well, if you are, you should be using clean needles and wearing clean injection and needle exchange. Are you having sex? Then you can, then maybe you have to have, you know, go on PrEP, or maybe you have to, if you're HIV negative, or maybe you have to be screened every 3 months. Then it turns into a risk assessment. From an infectious disease standpoint.
It seems like, according to the CDC, they're suggesting that the vast majority of new HIV cases are transmitted sexually. And with an older population, we have people that aren't concerned about not getting pregnant. So, or you have people that are newly divorced in their 40s and go out on the dating scene again, and they feel like perhaps they are past that, having to worry about that. Do you think that could be a factor in it?
Of course.
Dr. Tooks?
Once again, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like people are kind of having amnesia.
I think
I agree, but I mean, that's the point, is who should be tested for HIV? The answer is everyone.
Everyone.
And so everyone should be tested. And there have been increases in sexually transmitted diseases in certain retirement areas in Fort Myers for the same reason that, you know, you're bringing up. You know, there's no risk of pregnancy. There's no threat of pregnancy, I should say. There's, you know, erectile dysfunction medications. I mean, the bottom line is everyone should be tested. And they should find out what their status is, because people that know their status in general behave differently.
I agree. If you live in Florida, you live in a high-risk area. You should be tested for HIV.
You think Florida is higher risk than other places?
Absolutely.
Well, the numbers seem to show that. And then you were talking about the new Florida Surgeon General, Celeste Philip, and she's recently taken over this role. And Dr. Tooks, you were saying that she was helpful and instrumental in implementing this needle exchange program. Do you foresee her trying to do that throughout the state?
So Dr. Philip is from a public health background. She did a family medicine residency. She did a preventative health fellowship at the CDC. She was epidemic intelligence service at the CDC. My hope is that she is able to be empowered to address the situation the way that I know she would like to. But I am very familiar with the realities of Florida politics now after the 4 years of trying to get this bill passed. And I think the jury is still out. We'll have to see. But I know that the way that the HIV epidemic has reeled itself across our state will continue until somebody steps up in that leadership role and takes it head on.
And we're hearing that the best way to do anything on a personal level is to make sure that you have yourself tested. How do people go about doing that? Just go to your regular doctor, or are there places that specialize in testing for this with the speed test?
Absolutely. So your primary care doctor can test you. The health departments can test you. One of the things that can be addressed when you're getting tested is if there is a high risk for HIV in the future, you can talk about PrEP, which, again, is just one pill a day, known to prevent HIV, extremely effective. That's an option that we have in our medical armamentarium now that we can give to people to prevent new infections.
And you take that once a day for how long before it's effective?
So there are just a couple of weeks until we know that blood levels are at the point where infection would be prevented.
Okay.
Actually, it's probably, this is one of my sort of shtick things. It's probably less than that, but the bottom line is get on it. And if you're at risk, get on PrEP and know your status.
Is that widely available?
Probably is even more effective than just a couple of weeks. Within a week, it will be effective.
All right. Well, we have to leave it there for today. I'd like to thank our guests today. With Lee Health, we had Dr. Doug Brust, and from Miami, we had Dr. Hansel Tooks. Thank you both for joining us today. You can find links to the latest information on HIV/AIDS from the CDC and from state health officials on our website, wgcunews.org. Click on the tab for Gulf Coast Live. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui, with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, a successful community garden in Pine Manor will now have an adjacent food forest. We'll talk with the creator of that and the graduate of the culinary training program on site there. Plus, stunning images of Florida's elusive big cat were captured recently by photographer Andrew West. We'll talk about him and what he calls a highlight of his career. That's tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julia Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7, NPR for Southwest Florida.